Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. This episode of Coach P's Perspective is brought to you by Manscaped, the world champion in men's grooming, the best in men's grooming. For me, I've always believed as an athlete and as a coach, if you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform good. So I like to turn to Manscaped products. I use their shampoo, body wash, deodorant, lip balm, cologne. You name it, they pretty much have it, right? World-class trimmers. And one of the things I love about Manscaped is this. Whenever we're looking at their grooming products, they are paraben-free, cruelty-free, dye-free. If I'm going to put it on my body, I want to make sure it's healthy and I want to make sure I smell good, right? So if you or someone you know wants to stay fresh, smell fresh, you want to walk out there with confidence, make sure that you go to manscaped.com, check out their products. And you can get a 20% discount right now using the code COACHP20. That is COACHP20. The world champions, the best in men's grooming, Manscaped. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm excited. Today I have Major William Lyles. He was a special forces in the military, wounded in action. I can't wait to get into his story and hear a little bit about it. Was a college baseball player. So he's got a big sports background. And then went into the business world. We were just talking off camera a little bit. We have some mutual friends down in Texas. And anyway, so Will, thank you for being on.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity and kind of tell my story. And I mean, I'm honestly humbled to be a part of the show. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, let's kind of start like this so we can, you know, learn more about you and get your background. Where'd you grow up at? Maybe some of the sports you played growing up.
Okay. Originally from Hampton, Virginia, and born and raised. Growing up, played football, basketball, baseball. Baseball was probably my number one sport. But played football all the way up until eighth grade, wrestled in the eighth grade, my only year wrestling, and actually had the opportunity to get a college scholarship to play baseball at VMI. And like I said, baseball, just from the time I was 2 or 3 years old, that was my first love. So I definitely, that's still today, definitely enjoy the game. I enjoy really all sports. I don't think my TV ever leaves ESPN.
Yeah, kind of the same here. So. All right. Well, tell me about, you know, you chose to go to MMI or VMI, you know, you got to go out there on a baseball scholarship. I know you played all the way through. So tell me a little bit about that experience.
definitely, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't know anything about the school going into it. So that was kind of a challenge. I had only been on a recruiting visit, didn't really know much about it. I knew, you know, got to meet the coach along the way and meet the team. And I really felt comfortable there. And, you know, being a military school, I really wasn't prepared for what I was getting myself into initially. But, you know, I'll never, you know, I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. I'll never forget, you know, my dad, you know, the first day when my parents knew what I was getting into, but I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my mom's like a sobbing mess. Like, she's crying, like, you can come home, you can quit, it's okay. You know, if you don't like it, you can come home. And she, you know, she gives me this giant hug and she walks out of the room. My dad stands in front of me and he's like, "You can forget everything your mother just said." He said, We don't quit in our household. You're not coming home till this thing is over. So just keep that in mind moving forward. So it was just kind of, you know, my dad was a hard guy, really pushed us in athletics growing up. My brother actually went to VMI as well. He played football there. And it was just, you know, growing up, our house, sports is what we did, but mental toughness and just that, you know, never quit, never stop. You just keep grinding no matter what, even, you know, bad things happen. And frankly, it was you know, it kept me going there. There's no quitting allowed. And, you know, it was the best experience. You know, looking back on it, it might not be fun in the moment, but looking back on it, I probably, you know, honestly, probably would have struggled anywhere else. Just that structure and that, just the way the schools run, really helped me stay focused. It just kept me, you know, kept me moving in the right direction. I'll say that much. So it was a good experience looking back on it.
Yeah. So did you have any military background previously, a family military background, anything like that?
My mom's dad, he was a pilot in the Air Force. But other than that, I mean, just the extended family, military was never a thing. And frankly, even though it was military school, there's no service requirement. I never intended to going in the Army. I just really didn't know what I wanted to do when I got out. Once I graduated, I ended up applying for officer candidate school a year after the fact. So even though I went to military school, it's a state school, it's like, you know, Texas A&M or something like that, and I wasn't on scholarship, so I wasn't required to serve. The military kind of came a year after. I didn't really have a lot of direction, wasn't sure what I wanted to do, and I thought it would give me a chance to kind of figure it out while also gaining some leadership experience to kind of help me figure out what my future was. But honestly, best thing I've ever done, you know, making that decision to serve. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. So tell me about your military experience, you know, as far as, you know, choosing to go the Army route. And then of course, once you get there, you end up going into spec ops. But so how did all that happen?
You know, originally when I went in the Army, I applied for officer candidate school. You kind of choose, you know, you list your branches 1 through 10. My first choice was aviation. Second was infantry. And, you know, got selected as an infantry officer, made it all through, you know, basic training, OCS and infantry officer basic course, the Ranger School and Airborne, and ended up in 3rd Infantry Division, deployed to Iraq a couple of times. I was gone. I was in OI3, which was all of 2005. Went back during the surge in 07, 08, back to Iraq, that is. And then came back, went to Captain's Career Course, went through the Special Force Qualification Course, earned my Green Beret. And then got to same company as Wes, somebody else you had talked to. And unfortunately, you know, we deployed to Afghanistan in 2010 where I was injured. But I mean, it, you know, I learned how far I could push myself. You know, you learn to be the first person in the door in the morning, the last to lead. You learn how to lead from the front. I mean, they're, you know, when I was in school, when I was in college, I always said I would never leave home. Like Hampton, Virginia, it's where I'm home. Like once I get out of school, I'm never leaving this place. And just all those military experiences totally changed my life, changed my mind frame on the world, how you see it. Really appreciated really what we have here in this country. And not enough people understand how good we have it. You made me proud to be a citizen in this country and let me know just how fortunate I am. I mean, I probably could be a recruiter for the Army, for my personal experiences on how much I changed, how much I grew up as a leader, and, you know, learning to never ask people to do things that I'm not willing to do, and just really just being comfortable with myself and just maturing overall as an individual. But leadership that I gained is invaluable. It's something you can't, I don't think anybody can experience unless, you know, you're leading people where, you know, making decisions where people's lives are on the line. And I mean, I'm by no means an expert. I'm not saying that, but I feel like I have a wealth of experience that I would have not gained otherwise.
Yeah. So you did, you know, several tours, you know, let's go ahead and jump in. Tell me about your injury, you know, whenever you were, you know, wounded in action.
So 2010, we were deployed to, Firebase Cobra in Uruzgan province in Afghanistan. And we were doing these series of missions to open this valley back up. And the first one, we went to this village called Garmab. Again, I said I was with Wes. My team and Wes's team were kicking off a series of missions. And long story short is I stepped on an IED during a firefight, and I never lost consciousness. And I tell people it's the most surreal, desperate feeling you have in the world, because it's not like, you know, the hospital's not right around the corner or anything like that. It was when it first went off, it was just dust everywhere and I couldn't see had a mouthful of dirt. My teeth are all loose and I couldn't get up. And I mean, I kept trying to get up and I couldn't get up, and I called for the medic. You know, once the dust cleared and I saw how bad it was, you know, I finally called for the medic, and my team jumped on me, threw some tourniquets on me, had four guys, you know, working on me in different, you know, holding pressure in my groin, holding the tourniquets on the end of my legs. My left leg was gone above the knee. My right one, it was kind of mid-shin, maybe ankle area. But, you know, those guys worked their tail off to keep me alive. I never lost consciousness. And I think in some ways that's enabled me to deal with things the way I have, because I know how close I was to not being here, not being, you know, how fortunate I am. You know, you just never know until you're in that moment. It's such a surreal, unbelievable feeling when you're laying there. You know, you see your life, like, you're like, man, I just I can't believe they got me, kind of thing. You know, it's just that time. You know, it's not a freak out. It didn't, like, freak out. It didn't, you know, you see it. Everybody reacts differently. I didn't freak out. I personally tried to remain as calm as possible in the moment, even though it is a very desperate feeling. But the guys worked really hard, you know, flip-flopping on the tourniquets and holding pressure in my groin area, talking, you know, lost a significant amount of blood over time, obviously. We're in a massive firefight. Wes's team to the south of us was in heavy, heavy contact. You know, it's 100 some odd degrees in the middle, you know, towards the end of August. And it was just a brutal, brutal day. Overall, three of our partner first forces were killed in action. You know, in the beginning, it didn't hurt a great deal, but as time wore on, you know, the more agitated you get, the more, you know, the more you start to feel it, it really sets in. And you're just like, where's the medevac? And I'll never forget laying on the stretcher. You know, when they loaded me up on a Humvee, they cleared a route down this hill. And, you know, that was the first time I actually thought that, you know, I can, you know, I might actually make it, was when I seen the medevac chopper come over the mountainside and come down into the valley. I'll never forget that feeling. It's like, man, I might have a shot. You know, they loaded me up on the helicopter. They told the pilot, you know, if you don't get him there, he's not going to make it. He's going to bleed out. And I had very little time left. And I mean, they flew that chopper hard to get me to the level 2 facility back at Tarrant. And finally, I was in and out of consciousness once I got on the helicopter, but I was still bad off. You know, took a lot of blood over a couple of days. One of the doctors I talked to after the fact, I was fortunate enough to meet them, told them I took 60 liters of blood over a couple of days, just through different surgeries and transfusions and things like that. ran out of blood at one point. They had to fly some in. I mean, it was a lot. It's a lot to process after it's over. But I made it back to, you know, I was unstable for 4 days in Afghanistan. Was able to fly out. I got medevac. My final destination was San Antonio, Texas. I made it back there. My injury was on August 28th. Got to San Antonio on September 3rd of 2010. So about a week. And it still wasn't out of the woods. I had a really bad bone infection and a super bug. So my fever was still 104, 105. I didn't really realize I was hallucinating a lot between just the different drugs and the thing at that point. They finally got ahead of the infection. They took the bottom 6 inches of my right femur because the bone infection, they had to keep cutting it back. And they took the bottom 6 inches of my femur at some point after being at BAMC, at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio. Once they took the bottom 6 inches of my femur, I finally realized what was going on. I kind of came out of my hallucinations, you know, kind of drug-fueled haze there, and realized what was going on. But like I said, you know, look at me today. I'm just beyond fortunate and super lucky to be where I am. And, you know, I'm still here, still kicking. So I'm just thankful for my team that worked hard to keep me awake, keep me alert, keep me just save my life, honestly. I mean, it's one of those things. You train how you fight. We train hard. And that training kicked in, and those guys worked their tail off to keep me here. Both, I mean, everything from the flight crews to the medics to the doctors, everybody involved, just how thankful. And you feel like you owe those people so much. And I really do, because I wouldn't be here today without them. So just being thankful for all that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Like you said, it's a blessing. I mean, it's a terrible situation, but a blessing at the same time that, you know, like you said, you guys train hard and everybody was able to get in there and do their job and, you know, help keep you alive. What, you know, looking at some of the lessons you learned as you went throughout your training, what of those things have allowed you to be able to recover and then move forward in life?
Man, you know, just, I think, you know, the never quit attitude. I kind of talked about that earlier, what my parents brought to the table, you know, growing up, you know, they were really hard on us. They were very demanding of all of, I say us, just my brother, my sister, and myself, and really pushing us to never quit. I mean, the message in our household was like, you know, bad things are going to happen. So what, you know, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do next to prevent that from happening or prevent that from getting you down? You know, some of that stuff equates to sports too. Just the next pitch, moving on to the next pitch or the next down, wait till you get the ball back kind of thing. Like, you can make up for it. And, you know, in general, it's just, you know, the military is just one foot in front of the other. You know, you want to inspire people and keep going, even when you're in a slump. It just takes one, you know, one time to, you know, get out of that slump, or one hit, one touchdown pass, whatever your sport of choice is. I mean, just all those lessons are all wrapped into one. Just never quit. I mean, just from Ranger school to just, I mean, even in IOPC or any kind of military training, it's just like, never quit. Like, that's just always it. Like, you can't give up on yourself or give up in general. You got to keep fighting, keep pushing. Eventually something's going to happen one way. That's a life thing. I tell my kids that all the time. Like, you never know. If you quit, you give up. The first time you quit, you will always, I mean, that's just you let that in your mind, you let that in your head, and that becomes that's just a life thing that you're okay with. Never, you know, once you do it once, it'll just keep permeating your life forever.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how so many of these lessons, like you said, they apply, you know, not only to the military, but they apply to sports and they apply directly to life. You know, and that's something that I'm a big fan of personally. I often say, you know, principles are principles and they apply everywhere once you know them. So once you're able to take those principles and then apply them to other areas of your life, and, you know, think about people that are having a rough day or rough month or rough year, whatever it is, and want to quit or want to give up. I love what you said. You know, it's, hey, it's the next pitch, or you only need one thing that could be that breakthrough that moves you to the next level and keeps you going forward. You know, that's a great mindset. Now, tell me about, you know, once you get back, you're recovered, and then you're moving into a new phase of life. You know, where did you go after that?
You know, I'm not in the initial, it's kind of shocking because you think like, man, hey, all my life I've been this super independent, super physically strong, like, you know, just athletic, physically, you know, something I identified with. And initially in the beginning, it was like, man, I'm going to have people take care of me now. How can I drive? I don't have any legs. Like, you know, you have kind of, initially it's just a real shock. And then what they do in the rehabs, they have people that come talk to you that are, you know, further along in you, like they understand the process. And you kind of see like, man, I can really have some independence here. Like, you know, for me, that was really eye-opening and, you know, kind of got me out of a little bit of a pity party. I mean, it wasn't a long one, but you just get out of it. You got to, like, man, I could still be independent. I could still do this and still do that. Like, you just start to realize, like, there's all these opportunities for growth there, that you're not just stuck in this, hey, I got no legs. It's like, woe is me. And then it's like, oh, man, I can still do this and that. Like, you got your whole life ahead of you, you know. And I really jumped into the rehab part and really, you know, the other part of that is trying to figure out professionally, like, where am I headed? You know, you got your whole life planned. I mean, like I told you, I really enjoy the military. I enjoy the Army. Like, I loved it. I had my, you know, my life planned out as far as that goes. And then bam, it's just a shift from that. But it's like something that you just have to tell yourself. And again, it just goes back to like, hey, I'm not going to be miserable for the rest of my life. I just got to keep it moving. There's an opportunity for me to still be productive here, you know, and I really want to pay this forward. And, you know, initially I thought I wanted to go to medical school, but I decided that really wasn't the route that I wanted, and, you know, switched to the business route, went, got my MBA at Rice. And, I mean, today I'm the executive vice president for a lumber company that's, you know, that's nine facilities throughout the Southeast. And it was just one of those things, like, for my kids, for, you know, for my wife, for just everybody, just got to keep pushing forward. I mean, I have a lot to offer, and frankly, I'm not going to let one incident on one day ruin the rest of my life. I mean, it was one day, 1 second in time, but that's not going to ruin the rest of my life. I realized that, you know, I'm watching my kids grow up right in front of my eyes. I mean, at that point in time, I mean, I've got a gang of kids. I got six kids total, but I mean, I've had two kids since then. My son's playing high school basketball and baseball. My daughter, she's in dance and cheer and all those things. And, you know, sometimes I can't help but get emotional just because I know how super fortunate I am. Now, some people are like, man, that's tough. And it is. I'm not going to say it's not all like, hey, this is great, you know, but at the same time, you know, not every day is like, oh, man, this is amazing. Like, I don't, you know, but I in general have never had a bad, like, bad dream about what happens to me. Not a really a negative thought. I mean, I have no nightmares. It's just about moving forward. And I recognize, you know, it's the little things. You know, my daughter was dancing. They had a dance program this week, or end of the spring deal this week at school. And I went and watched her. You just can't sit back and think, like, man, how fortunate am I? Like, how, you know, sometimes it can make me slightly emotional just because I recognize, like, how close I was to not being there. But just the simple fact that I get to experience these things that so many of my, you know, brothers and sisters who, you know, they didn't make it back, they're not getting those same opportunities. And I feel like I owe it to both the people that worked on me, to the guys that, you know, the people that I led that didn't make it home, to just in general, everybody in general, I owe it to them to keep moving, to keep, you know, my wife, my kids, you know, set the example for them that, you know, it sounds cheesy, but if you're, you know, rocky, life's going to punch you in the gut. Yeah. And how hard are you, you know, are you going to get back up, or are you going to let that keep you down? My thing is, your response is a choice. Now, I still go around and that's my message. And I'm not saying things aren't hard. You know, I've had the opportunity to speak to, you know, both, you know, at my alma mater, I got a chance to speak to the Arkansas baseball team this last fall, and with, you know, just share my message. You know, it's all about, just things are hard, you got to keep moving, there's no quit, there's some good that can come out of everything. You may not see it right then at the moment, but there's some good. I mean, I've got two young boys that I would not have had the experience of if I didn't make it, you know, seeing my kids grow up. You know, there's good in everything. You just got to find it and just wait it out. You know, it's not always going to be great. It's not every day. Every day is not great. But at the same time, it is what you make it at the end of the day. Your response to adversity. And to me, that's my message every day to my kids. Like, I mean, I'm not pouting. You better not pout. You know, you got to get on with it. Let's keep grinding. Keep grinding. Something's going to break your way. You just got to keep grinding. It's not always going to be, you know, sunshine and roses. And I mean, to me, if anybody gets anything out of my message, it's that right there. Like, you got to get back up off that mat. You got to keep pushing. And you can't let one bad moment in time ruin the rest of your life. There's a lot to be thankful for. And even without legs, I have no, you know, there's almost nothing that I can't do if I really want to do it, really want to put my mind frame. I see the Rocky thing behind you, by the way, but it's, you know, it's one of those things that you just got to keep pressing. I mean, there's good and there's something good in almost everything. You just got to find it and focus on it, and don't let stuff just kill the rest of your life. And that's what I'm determined to do. I'm just going to keep moving. I'm super thankful, super blessed. I recognize that. And I owe everybody in this country who has done more for me than anybody can recognize. It's just to keep moving forward and be as productive as I can.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's inspirational. Got me motivated, man. So got me over here. I'm like, I'm probably gonna get a workout in after we get off this this podcast. So, you know, I love it, man. Cause yeah, every day is not a good day. You know, every day is not a bad day. Every day is not a good day, but When it's going good, awesome. And when it's going rough, like you said, get back up, keep moving forward and find the good.
I keep a, so I have this photo of my dad. So I have, it's the day I was wounded when I got medevaced to the level 3 facility, and they laid an ACU top on me and my Purple Heart. I'm intubated, but Colonel Bulldog, and I forget the Sergeant Major's name, they're there. And, you know, they pinned the Purple Heart on the uniform, and obviously I'm not cognizant of what's going on around me, but I keep that frame. I had that framed, and I keep that on my wall in my office to let me know that, you know, it could always be worse. No matter what is going on in the world today or at this very moment, it can always be worse. That's always my reminder to just take stock, be okay. You know, at the end of the day, nobody's trying to kill you, you know, and you're going to be all right. So no matter how bad it is, you just got to keep pushing forward. That's my daily reminder when things aren't going, you know, aren't the greatest thing, you know, or I'm not having the best day, that it can always be worse. And I really, that's one of my favorite pictures, because it lets me know that, but also that how hard I fought, you know, internally, like I didn't quit and I didn't give up, you know, I fought hard too. It lets me know that, I mean, you can make it through anything if you're willing to. That's me. You know, I'm not saying that that's the end all be all, but for me, that's my reminder on how far I've come as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What a tangible, you know, concrete reminder, looking at that picture and seeing, you know, seeing what you went through. And I often tell my athletes, you know, my wrestlers, say, hey, you know, we want to have a warrior mindset. We want to fight. We want to battle when we're out there, but it's not life and death, right? It's just a sport. It's just a sport at the end of the day, you know, so, but we still want to have that heart and mindset where we're going to go out there and battle every single time. Like you said, no one's trying to kill you. It's just a sport. Yeah. Go leave it all out there. But, So now I got four children. You got six kids, man. That's a lot of kids. I feel you. You know, it's a busy lifestyle. But so what are some of the things that you do on a daily basis to become the best person you can? Maybe some daily habits, whether that's reading, prayer time, whatever. Because, you know, I feel like no matter what area of life you're in, whether you're a CEO of a business, if you are a parent, if you're a coach, athlete, whatever, you should always be trying to move forward and be the best version of yourself, because that allows you to be better for others, you know? And I know that I want to be better as a dad. So what are some of the things that you do?
You know, one thing that I still do is I get up at 4 a.m. to go to the gym every morning. I still work out. I think physical fitness is important to me. It's something that clears my mind, lets me, you know, get, you know, de-stress, helps me, you know, and honestly, it helps my sleep, quite honestly, and gets me tired at the end of the day, gets me in a rhythm. And that's honestly one of the more important times of my day, because like you said, I'm running the rat race. Like I go to work every day, I come home and it's, you know, basketball, soccer, baseball, like the kids all have, I'm an unpaid Uber driver after work every day, Ubering the kids around. So it's that gym time every day. Just read the news to kind of figure out what's going on in the world. Those are my daily habits, and really see what's going on and keep them informed. But most important, like the most important job I have right now is just being a dad. Like for that first, before I was wounded, I was gone so much. I really wasn't around as a parent at all. And so being heavily involved in my kids, that really, you know, dominates my life afterwards. I really tell people, like, it's either, if we're going to do any business lunches, coffees or whatever, it's going to be in the morning, or it will be at lunchtime, but my evenings are dedicated to my kids unless I'm traveling on business. And I try to keep that to a minimum. But that gym time, just being involved in my kids' lives, like jobs are important, but they come and go, you know, just being there for your kids at the end of the day, those are, you know, I'd say habits that people just need to put a lot of stock in, you know, taking time to just sit back with them and enjoy that part of their lives. And those, you know, I guess habits wise, that's not really huge. I'm not a big reader or anything other than most sports magazines, but that daily workout, physical health continues to be a reminder, especially for me. Can't balloon up the bigger you get. Like I walk everywhere. I typically, you know, I use a wheelchair at home, but generally I try to walk everywhere and be physically independent. So just that for me, that's my daily, like, hey, good health, physical health. And, you know, I guess that's my one habit that I really maintain and work hard at.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here, man. I have to work out pretty much daily. My wife likes me better when I do that because I'm a nicer person. I'm a better person. De-stress, like you said, it would de-stress. And it's a very controllable thing in your life. You can get in there and do, and then it's amazing how you feel afterward. I know some people, it's difficult for them to get themselves to go to the gym, or most people want to, right? But a lot of times people just don't make it a priority in their life. But when it is, and you got to find a time. So like you said, for you, it's first thing in the morning, get up, and that way you can do that, take care of business, and then you can take care of your kids, you know, afterwards, which is awesome. Yeah. All right. So if we were to get your phone and look at your favorites in your phone, all right. So those people that you could call on night or day, anytime, you know, it's going to be, you know, your wife, but who are some of your favorites and why?
My parents. I mean, I probably talk to them, if not every day, every other day. Just frankly, I wouldn't be here without them. I mean, they demanded a lot of us, but I say that wouldn't be where I'm at today without that demanding. Like growing up, we would watch film of every sporting thing. That's probably a little obsessive, but just every sporting event, we videotape it, go back, play it, see what we did, what we didn't do. It was a little obsessive probably when you think back on it, but at the end of the day, it also helped me develop this thing where I'm okay with constructive criticism. I'm okay. I got thick enough skin to tell me, like, hey, this is what you're doing wrong. Let's fix that. And, like, you know, let's move on to the next thing. It's another sports thing, but it helped in life. Like, I don't, you know, it allows me to hold myself accountable. So if other people say, hey, Will, like, you're not doing this right, or, you know, you should do this differently, this and that. And just my, you know, I think that's it. Like, a lot of Army buddies. I'm actually flying down to Florida next weekend to meet with some of my, you know, guys that I went to Iraq with the first couple of times. Those are probably the people that I talk to, you know, the most. I really don't spend too much time on my phone except in my car. That's really it. I mean, I'll listen to sports talk radio, but in general, I call my friends and my mom and dad, mainly my brother and sister. Those are the people I talk to the most, maybe a couple of people I went to business school with, but at the end of the day, my parents is probably most of the time when I get in the car to head home from work. That's who I give, you know, give them a call.
All right. So next one, and you can answer all three of these. You can answer just a little bit of it if you want, you know, expound upon as much as you want, but
yeah,
I want you to tell me about a hero, hardship, or a highlight, or a little of each, you know. And we talked about, of course, hardship, but hero, highlight.
I mean, it sounds cheesy, but my dad is flat out like my hero. Like, my dad's not a, you know, and I keep going back to my parents, but, you know, my dad's a hard working guy. I knew, like, he would, like, my dad worked at a coal terminal for 30 plus years. You know, he would go receive the trains coming from west. They were loaded on vessels going mainly to Asia. But he would, you know, he was always there for us. Like, he, you know, even when he was working nights, if I was pitching on a, you know, he would show up at the high school game, watch me pitch, or even a little league. Like, he was the hardest working guy I know. Never late for anything. Just, you know, taught me about organization. You know, just, I am who I am because of him. You know, it's... I'll never forget it. Like, I was 12 years old. I think it was 12. But, you know, I came in, you know, he was like, hey, Dad, I need help tying this tie. He's like, you need to tie it yourself. And I said, well, I don't know how to tie a tie. And he's like, well, you need to figure out. He's like, what if I die today? Like, how are you going to learn how to turn that tie? And he gave me a book. And I was just kind of guy, like, just the life lessons in general, like, I learned from him. Just the matter of factness. I mean, it was love in our house. He supported us, but it was very demanding. But he was the hardest working guy I knew. He didn't have a lot. We didn't have a lot. They, you know, they broke their necks to give us whatever, to play every sport we could, every camp I could get to. You know, all three of us, they killed themselves to support. You know, I say thanks. My mom played a part in that too. But just my dad always wanted to be like that. Like, when I got, you know, married, he was my best man. You know, I married the first time. He was my best man. Like, he's always been there for me. He's been my rock. You know, but like I said, never late for work, hardest, just dependable. If he told you he was going to be there, and he's the person that taught me integrity above everything. Your word is everything. And when you tell somebody you're going to do something, then you're going to be there. It doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you're going to mess up. But in general, 99.9% of the time, you're going to do what you said you can do. And I always appreciated that. I just learned so much from him. And he is by far, like, just, you know, he is my hero. I mean, that's straight up, like, everything. You know, hardship, obviously. Everything that I've been through at the end of the day is the hardship. But I've battled through it. You know, it's no pun intended, but it's literally one foot in front of the other. There's, you know, you have a choice how you were, you know, you battle from that hardship and how you face it. Like the Stuart Scott speech, you know, you win by how you live kind of thing on the cancer thing. And that goes for everything. You know, I've, you know, every day is not perfect, but I recognize that every day is a gift and you just got to keep trucking through that. You know, other than that, I mean, I've, you know, it's a hardship, yes, but you know, I've received so much love and support, and you know, there's good that comes out of everything. You know, it really is. So it's just your view on it, and a never quit, never say, you know, never quit attitude. You can beat anything. You know, it may not be perfect, it may not be 100% perfect, but it's daggone close to it. You know, and you know. Like I said, I keep going back to it. I'm super fortunate. I've got to meet doctors that worked on me. I'm so thankful for them. I'm still friends with a lot of them today. And I just, you know, I owe them a debt of gratitude that you can never, you know, I can never give back to them what they gave to me. And I can only live up to that by living every day with just being grateful and try to be the better person, to do more, to help somebody out, do those type of things. Mm-hmm. So, it may be hardship, and I have been there, but at the same time, when I look at myself today, I'm beyond thankful. I mean, it's just one of those things, like, you know, my first wife and I, we split a couple of years after I got wounded, and, you know, it's just an example. Like, I met my wife now, like, she was a nurse taking care of me initially, like, this first time I met her. So it's one of those just examples, like, you never know when something good, you know, what can come out of adversity. You know, and how you know, it can be life changing. And even though this was life altering, I'm as happy today as I was then. You know, it is what you make of it. I don't have all the answers. I don't know how or why the circumstances are, but I'd like to think that, you know, I've taken a little life lessons. And it's funny because I wasn't always mental, you know, I'll be honest, when I was in high school and college, I wasn't as mentally tough as I am now. Something I struggled with as an athlete, and a lot of self-doubt on how I was handling things, and just the life experiences over that time really changed that for me, really, you know, brought confidence out in me. Just, you know, whether it's just the experience of leading people in Iraq or just in general, like, it's just being self-confident enough to push through and being comfortable in your own skin, something that wasn't always the case.
Highlight. So what's that? Just any or multiple, whatever, highlight in your life?
You know, it's funny, like, I've got a lot of them, a lot about me, but I'll say, like, the highlight, just being proud, like, my son, my oldest son, I've got three of them. I got three girls, three boys. My oldest son, he really hadn't played much basketball since baseball's his thing, for obvious reasons, like, you know, he loves the game, but, you know, in seventh grade, he's like, "Dad, I'm going to try out for the middle school basketball team." He had played, you know, organized basketball at some time. I said, you know, he plays in the neighborhood, but he's like, "I'm going to try out." I was like, "All right. I mean, I'll support it." You know, went through the whole thing, and he tried out. He made the first cut and the second cut, and I'm like trying to prepare. I'm like, "Son, you know, you really haven't played basketball much. Like, it's okay. Like, you got to fight through it, you know, try hard, work hard, and, you know." When he made the A team, so they had an A team and a B team, and he made the A team for seventh grade, my highlight was just, I was just blown away that he put himself out there, like, no care in the world. He was confident in himself that he was going to do it. And, you know, when he made it, I was just, I mean, just the pride in your kid.
Yeah.
It's just, you see them, like grind like you want. Like, he wasn't scared. He went out there, he went forward. He wasn't not confident, even though I was like trying to prepare him as if, you know, try to soften the blow just in case. And he didn't flinch. He didn't care. He did, you know, and he made that team. And I'll tell you what, at that point in time, that was one of my like proudest moments ever. You see that, you want that for your kids, you know, you want them to succeed. And he, I mean, he's done well. He's made the team every year since. He's probably, you know, the MVP of his freshman team this year. I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. I'm just, you know, proud of him, proud of what he accomplished. And that's just one of those things for me that you can't, it always goes back to family, but I'm just thankful, you know, that pride that I felt in that moment, you can't beat it.
Yeah. So I saw an article Wes sent to me, and you know, it was talking about you playing baseball at VMI, and you got to go back and throw out a first pitch. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So what was that, like sort of a surreal moment or a weird moment? Like, what was that like for you?
It's a surreal moment. You know, I'm not gonna, it wasn't like some, you know, I didn't, you know, my college years weren't so great, you know, it was a good experience. I won't say that I was some all conference or all pro by any means, you know, it was one of those things like kind of come full circle and be there, be at the school. I mean, just as a collegiate athlete, it's an amazing thing. Like the group of guys, the bond that you develop with your teammates is just an amazing thing. And to go back and have them in the stands and watch that, people support you. You know, it's an amazing thing. It's a humbling thing. You know, things that you don't feel deserving of having that opportunity. And it was just an amazing experience. Super fortunate. I don't even know how I can accurately describe that. It's just a, you know, life has come full circle. And I realize, again, it's one of those things like how far you've come in the moment and just thankful for that opportunity. I mean, that school did a lot for me. You know, it has a lot to do with where I am today. Just a chance to, you know, play a collegiate athletics at a D1 pro, you know, even though it's small, like have a chance to play that D1 sport there. It's just it's crazy how far I've come, how far I've come from that point in life. And just to have that opportunity was humbling.
Yeah, that's really cool. When I saw the picture and I was reading the article, it just made me think about that, you know, getting to go back and do that. I was like, I bet you that was a really cool experience. So, well, Will, thank you so much for being on here, man. It's a blessing. You are a true inspiration. Now, you mentioned real quick, you know, you have went and had the opportunity to speak at a few places. Is that something you do often?
Whenever somebody asks, I try to make it a point to do that. I mean, I do have a story to tell. I have a message that, you know, if somebody asks or given the opportunity, I love to do it just because I do feel like I have something to offer. And if I can reach one person or a couple people or however many people I can, just to encourage them to not give up and not quit and just keep pushing, then I'm all for it. I do that as much as I can, as much as anybody asks. You know, I enjoy doing it. And like I said, if I can help one person or push one person to get through a hard point or a hardship in life, I mean, that's well worth it.
Yeah. Where can people find you? Social media, or if you have an email address, because, you know, maybe somebody wants to bring you in to speak, where can people connect with you?
You can email me at william.lyles3@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. You can find me, Willie Lyles is my name. I'm on Instagram, but I don't really do anything with it. I've never posted anything or something. It's more to just keep an eye on my kids occasionally. So, but yeah, you can email me anytime. I'll respond. That's probably the best way to get me. I'm not super active on social media, so that's just the easiest way to get a hold of me.
Okay, cool. Cause I have a feeling some people are going to hear this and, you know, maybe you're, who knows, man, who knows what situation it might be in that life throws at them, you know, but somebody may hear this and be inspired and want to get in contact with you, you know, and get some wisdom and some advice from you. So I'll make sure I put that email and the link in the show notes as well.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And I mean, anytime, like I said, if I can help one person, I'm all for it. I've been blessed beyond belief. I mean, you know, it's really humbling, but I've been blessed beyond belief. And I don't take that lightly. If I can reach one person, it's well worth it.
Yep, sir. So, well, thank you again for being on the show. It's an honor to have you on. Thank you for your service, for, you know, what you've done for our country and what you continue to do.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk today, kind of tell my story. And you too, if there's anything I could do for you, feel free to reach out. Let me know. I'm all for
it. Yes, sir. And thank you. All right, everybody. This has been another episode of Coach B's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I'd like to encourage you to go over to fluxfootwear.com. Flux Footwear. The Flux Adapt is one of my favorite shoes. These things are an everyday wear. You can also wear them in fitness. Very light, stylish, unique. I'm a pretty minimalist shoe kind of guy, and Flux Footwear basically checks off every single box I'm looking for. So go check them out. And if you use the code COACHP10, that is COACHP10, you'll get yourself a 10% discount on the Flux Adapt shoe at fluxfootwear.com.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.